This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Oh, Lenny, you're on Twitter again, and you know it all, so we'll just leave it there. But
what'd he say? What happened?
Don't believe the hype. Pac-Man Joel is talking out of his ass. San Francisco has a bottom five rushing defense, while Cleveland has a top eight rushing defense and are in the upper half of total defense. Well, you play both sides of the ball, and you play to win the game. Just ask Herm Edwards. So the way you look at scores, and you look at the way the Browns have been losing games, and you look at the fact that Niners have actually gotten a win recently and have been in games, I will stick by what I said.
Okay.
And then he says, we'll see what he says Monday when Cleveland beats his Packers. All right. Well, if you want to put your money where your mouth is on that one, even with 84-yard Brett Hundley, that's how bad the Browns are. So,
how bad will you feel if that happens? On a scale of getting a hangnail to losing your arm.
In a way, I might be happy. Let me explain why. Because it puts me out of the misery of trying to remain hopeful. Because here's the thing, and I saw Deion Sanders did a thing on NFL Network the other day, and he said, look, from the standpoint of the Cowboys and the Packers, you should start planning for next year. You shouldn't worry about Zeke coming back or Rodgers coming back. You're out of it. You're done. It's over. But I don't think, just the way you were saying the other day, how the networks keep saying the Texans still are in the playoff hunt, it would almost be better that way than to have them win that game, and especially if one of those two teams in the wild card lose, and you close the gap, and then you bring Rodgers back. And you think, well, if they run the table again, there's a chance. But they're still going to be at least two games behind. I just, even though they're playing two of the three teams they're chasing, I don't think they're going to get in. So I would rather make sure Rodgers is healthy next year and have a fighter's chance. Instead of, even if they do get in, they're not that good.
I just want them to lose so that I can make fun of you.
I know you do.
The rest of the year.
Well, you do that anyway, but I'm saying you'd have another specific topic to add to your repertoire.
Just to give you hell about the Packers losing to the Browns, because then you know what will happen? Wouldn't it be great? How sweet would this be if the Packers lost to the Browns and the Texans lost to the Niners, and then we basically couldn't say anything to either to the other person because they're both terrible. Yeah. And it would be bad losses. That's exactly what would happen, is I would be rejoicing in a Packers defeat to the Browns, and at about that same time, the Texans would cough up a fumble, and the Niners would run it back and win the game or something like that. I'm still on the fence. I'm like what Sarah said earlier in the show when she joined us at 1:30. I'm still on the fence on who I'm picking in this game.
It's going to be interesting, because from a Garoppolo perspective, you'd think this is his chance to really come out and showcase it all. And you know, from a Texan standpoint, as long as you can say fumble, you can spell savage, and you know that there's a match there. The turnovers are coming. So yeah, I mean, I can't say it's going to be the game of the week, and I can't see that anybody's going to be tuned in other than in Houston and probably in the Bay Area. But yeah, it should be interesting to see who is where in terms of,
I'm curious what the line is, because it's not a slam dunk by any stretch of the imagination that they, so Houston is favored and the matchup predictor on ESPN, 79.1% to 20.8. The spread is -3.
Ooh.
So Houston -3. If you were betting, would you, and the over-under is 44.5. So first of all, if you were betting, would you take the Niners and the 3 points, or take the Texans and give 3 points? What would you do?
I'm telling you right now, first of all, I like the under.
Okay.
And then secondly, just looking at that, I mean, I'm looking at the weapons that each team has left, right? The Niners don't have a DeAndre Hopkins. Their running game still isn't Lamar Miller, and even if it is just Miller and Blue. I would take the Texans' defense over the Niners' defense at this point, even with the injuries, and as long as Clowney's playing. So I would give the Texans the advantage enough to say that I would probably take the Texans.
Okay. I think I would take the over.
Really?
Yeah.
And over 45?
Yeah, 44 and a half.
44 and a half.
And I think I would take the over because both of these defenses give up a lot of points. Both of these defenses can make these quarterbacks look better than they are. The Texans have been doing it all year. I feel like they're giving up 25.8 points a game. The Texans are. That's a lot of points. That's like 28th in the NFL. The Niners aren't much better. They're tied with Miami for 24th in the NFL, giving up 24.8 points a game. So between the two of them, they're giving up over 50 points a game. Now, are these offenses
capable of?
But when you look at what San Francisco did last week, what are they, 5 field goals?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they got within field goal range or close to the red zone at least 5 times.
They beat the Bears, 15-14?
Yeah, so they put together at least 5 scoring drives. I'm not saying the Bears are a great defense either, because they're not, but they're actually giving up less points than the Texans are. The Bears are giving up 22 points a game. So I think that these defenses might be bad enough to make these offenses look better than they are, and I don't know that the offenses are good enough to take advantage of the bad defenses.
Tom Savage put up 360 last week.
Yeah.
Against a defense that was at least somewhat respected in the AFC in Tennessee.
So, yeah. We'll see.
Where are you going with it?
I might take the over, from a betting perspective. I think I would take San Francisco and the 3 points.
Okay. I just know that I tune into the Blitz because those are the experts that I go to for all of the real betting expertise.
And I'm salty.
Yes.
And I'm the salty
yes.
one.
Yes.
All right. So a couple of people are texting the show as usual, and I wanted to get to those. One of them had a fantasy question. This is your friendly neighborhood beer salesman. He said, I have a fantasy question for the suspects. Easy for me to say. Who's your hall pass? And what would it take for you guys to give it up, whether it would ever be possible or not? In other words, what's the celebrity that you could sleep with that would get you, that would be okay with Lisa or Nora? Like, is there a celeb? Like, she was like, yeah, if you ever ran across this chick and she wanted to have that's your hall pass. Who is
it? First of all, she ain't giving me a hall pass.
Okay.
I already know that going on.
I didn't suspect that.
But if I got to choose one, to nominate one to see if it would fly.
I think you should go home and have that discussion with her tonight.
I don't.
And record it and bring it back for audio for the show.
I don't. Things are great at my house. Nick will beep it.
Don't worry. He'll be able to bleep it.
I'll go with choice A, Ava Mendez.
Okay. Solid.
Choice B.
Your neighbor.
Nicole Scherzinger.
Oh, okay. Not the neighbor?
No.
Don't ever throw that out there. You'd get
Nick's
in trouble.
Nick's seen our neighborhood. No.
No? It's not good?
No.
I don't think that my wife and I have ever had that discussion. I know who hers is, though.
Who?
LL Cool J.
Really?
Yeah, my wife has a huge crush on LL Cool J.
A lot of women do.
I don't know why that is. And every chance I get, I make fun of him. Just to fuel the fire. Yeah.
Shocker that you would do something
like that. Yeah, Joel, it's not just you.
Right.
I mess with everybody. Uh-huh. But I've never had that discussion with her.
Well, who would you pick?
I don't really even know, to be honest with you. It was going to be Augusta Ames, but that's out now.
I knew you were going to say that.
Or August Ames, whatever the hell her name is. Okay.
August.
Caught me.
Augusta.
Yeah, it's whatever. Fine. Whatever. I don't know.
Come on, man. You can't. I answered it. You answered it.
Oh, he's not going to let you not answer now that he's giving you one.
Yeah.
I say Holly Berry, but she's so old now. I don't want that old, wrinkly Holly Berry.
Oh, not wrinkly, because black don't crack.
Yeah, she's still hot. But she would have been high on the list.
Okay.
20 years ago, it would have been Pamela Anderson, but no one wants to get the hip.
See her recently do that interview?
Yeah. Oof. It's not Britney Spears, I'll tell you that.
Thank you.
Nick, who's yours?
If I was in a relationship?
Yes.
Okay, I have mine.
Go ahead.
Anna Cherry.
Who's that?
Look it up. You're welcome.
It's a porn star.
And nope, Anna Cherry. Just go to Instagram, type in A-N-A-C-H-E-R-I.
Haven't we done this before?
Yep, just do it. You're welcome.
Nick, that would be mine.
Who's yours,
she's
Nick?
Plump. Right now,
she's plump. She doesn't have a square torso, Nick.
I mean.
Fool, you are crazy if you call that plump.
I mean plump in a good way.
Okay.
Yeah. Sure Camila Cabello, that girl from Fifth Harmony, dude, she is banging.
Is she? Okay.
Banging.
Well, there you go. There's our hall pass people.
I don't know about Ava Mendez, though, Joel. Like, I mean, I wasn't going to just let that one
Ava
slide.
Mendez, have you seen
her? You're trying to choose a hall pass, and that's who you pick?
I'm actually not, she's great. Now, I think she's had a kid or two now, but she's...
Every time her name comes up, I think of the same photo.
Which one?
I don't remember. I think it was a French magazine, but the one where she's sucking on her own toe. Did you know really? She did that? Yes. I'm like, why would you take that photo? What was the photographer like? Hey, you know what would be cool? What? Like if I stuck my butt out? Nah, if you put your foot in your mouth. Like literally? Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. Okay. And then he takes the photo and it gets published. Why? Now you're going to get athlete's foot from her mouth. That's not cool. So, yeah, Google that. That's going to run it for you. Okay. All right. Another text. I'm going to give a shout out to Amazon B's brother. He's the one that I met in Beaumont when I had that gig. Big fan of yours. He said, yo, Barry, having second generation, listening to your show. My daughter was born this last week, so we're kicking it listening to you, starting her off right. Amen, brother. Appreciate that, and congratulations on the kiddo.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Good for you.
Your life is over.
There you go, Nick.
You've ruined it. Good job.
It's done.
Yep.
By the way, we'll get to it next segment, but Tre'Davious White is out of concussion protocol for the Bills. And if you thought that he accepted Gronk's apology and was good with it going forward, you might want to think again.
Really?
He's a little salty himself today.
All right.
So we'll have that audio coming back, and we'll, of course, pay attention to anything and everything that you want to get off your chest or off your mind. Or give us a call, 713-780-3776, HRNP Listener Line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Hate is a forte, each and every day, true play away. I can't get her out of my mind. Wow. I think about the girl all the time. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back. So are you, hopefully, as we continue on with The Usual Suspects. I've teased this before the break, but... Tre'Davious White is the guy for the Bills that Gronkowski took the cheap shot on that got him suspended. And he was in concussion protocol, and he was back out of protocol and at practice today for the Bills. And for the first time he's spoken on the incident since it all went down. We know that Gronk tried to apologize, you know, said it was his bad, all these other things. If you were expecting him to be receiving of all those comments and be understanding, think again. This is what he said today at practice.
How fair was the one-game suspension in your mind?
Man. I don't know what to say on that. I'm laying there. He snuck me. My back turned. He could have broke my neck. I mean, I got a son to raise. You know, all that. You know, people don't think about that when they, you know, just react, you know. But, that's here or there, but... It is what it is. I did what he wanted to do, man. He is what he did. Dirty shot. So what they make? Dirty play. Simple.
What have you heard from Rob since? I
want to hear that from him.
So you said he apologized to you. Is that not true?
To who?
To you.
He apologized to you in the locker room afterwards. He said, I'm sorry, the 27. Does that mean anything?
No. His intentions were what he did. So.
He went on to say, I'm glad I had my mouthpiece in. I probably could have bit my tongue off. I bit my lip pretty bad. Have had terrible headaches. It is what it is. He did what he wanted to do.
Pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
I mean, he's kind of right, though. If you take a cheap shot and a dirty shot, what does that make you? That makes you a dirty player.
Mm-hmm.
There's the difference in... A continuation of a play where maybe you're running along the sidelines and, you know, you're chasing somebody like Russell Wilson and he's slippery and fast and he steps out of bounds and you're in the middle of pursuit a half a step behind him and you hit him anyways. That's a bit different. Gronk, Like, this dude is laying on the ground still. Gronk just WWE style dives on his back and hits him in the back of the head. It was dirty. It was cheap. There's no continuation of football play or anything. It was a D-bag move.
And here's the other thing that makes it worse that really stood out to me. If you and I are on separate teams playing baseball and I hit you and you go to the hospital, I'm going to the hospital to apologize, to make sure you're okay. It's not an apology if you just say in the post-game news conference, I apologize to 27.
Yeah, if you issue it via the press, that's not an apology. That's a statement.
Right. And if you make that statement, you damn well better back it up by already either having sent a text message, gotten reached out on the phone, or had gone to wherever he was to recover. But to just say it in the press conference and think that that counts, it doesn't count.
Yeah, I think the classy move is to send the guy, at the very least, to send the guy a text.
Right.
Or a phone call or something. Just say, hey, man. My emotions got the best of me. I feel like an a-hole for doing that. I apologize. I'm sorry. You know, I hope you're okay. Send him, you know, some flowers and chocolates. I don't know what the hell. Whatever you want to do. But just issuing a statement to the press isn't. But let's face it. That's Gronk's style. Gronk doesn't care. Do you honestly think Gronk is going to lose any sleep over that? Even if he would have hurt that dude, I don't think Gronk would have cared all that much.
I don't think he's the sharpest tool in the shed anyway. But I think that, yeah, I think for the most part, he wasn't hurt. And he got to let his emotions out. I just think it's pretty chicken, you know what, to say that you apologized and then only do it by saying, I apologize to 27 while doing your press conference.
Didn't even say his name, just gave him a number.
Yeah, in order of class, you show up in person. If you're worried about a response, you text. And in between, you at least take the time to call and to get, you know, to hear, let that person hear it from you, and if they want to say something to you, they can. And it's a little less confrontational if it's not in person. But yeah, I mean, if I'm going to rate it, you either go in person, you call, or then you text. But one of those three things. Don't just do it in the media and think that that's okay. That gets it done. So that's crazy. And Gronk is going to miss the game. And I checked with Lance, too, because you and I were on the same page on this. Dell was not, nor was Raheel, in talking about the Juju Smith-Schuster hit. And I said, what am I missing here? Because I heard Lance and John talking about it. Was it that bad? And Lance said exactly what we said. It was a legitimate hit. It was fine. And even if you step over someone, you're only going to get the 15. And at the end of the day, the league's going to fine you for doing something like that. They're not going to suspend you. But he said that was more the product of how bad that game was. How violent it was,
how
many cheap shots were going on that they just decided that it was necessary. But then my rebuttal was, if that's the case, then why does Iloka get off without a suspension when it looked to me like he was targeting Brown's head in the end zone?
Valid question.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? This goes back to...
The commissioner.
this guy's a joke, man. This whole league and the way it's run is a joke.
Well, here's an idea, knows? Barry. Because it's a joke, why don't we give him $200 million for the next, say, 4 or 5 years?
It's just weird.
He's going to make 50 mil a year for the next four. That is ludicrous.
And he's not really contributing to the actual bottom line in any way, shape, or form.
As close as he is more than doubled the highest paid player this year for the exact same stretch of time. I think the highest paid player is Drew Brees, and it's like 23.
Jeez.
And he's making 50.
It's crazy.
Nuts, right?
Yep.
All right, Gary wants to get in here on Gronk. What's up, Gary?
Hey-o.
What's up?
Gary, not Gary. Well,
okay, so
Gary,
someone's playing.
It's all good. It's all good.
Barry, what does the board say?
It says Gary.
I know. I heard it say, she goes, okay, Gary, I'll put you on hold. I was going to be like, come back here. That's not my name.
Normally when you're on the board, Jerry, there's at least five R's. Because then we know it's the Jerry.
Yeah, Jerry. What was I going to say?
Gronk?
Yeah, do you remember that that NHL hit with, I think it was Bertuzzi, right? Was it Bertuzzi where he hit the guy in the back of the head and he was out cold and smashed his head on the ice
right.
And pretty much ended his career?
Yep.
I mean, that's essentially the same exact thing that Gronkowski did. I mean, if the guy had, you know, a worse injury where, you know, his career was over, I mean, that's like criminal.
Yeah.
You know, and he wasn't thrown out for that game either, was he?
I don't know. Was he thrown out for the rest of that game?
Yeah, I don't think he was thrown out.
He was flagged for it. I don't know that he was ejected.
So crazy, you gotta go, man.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And yeah. Let me ask you one other question. Talking about big hits, like that Juju Smith-Schuster hit.
Yeah,
wasn't that a legal hit? The actual hit, not standing over him, but he didn't leave the ground. He hit him with his shoulder into his chest. Or was it illegal because it was what they call it, a snapback block or crackback block?
No, it was a legal hit. Yeah. There was nothing wrong with the actual block. It was what came after that, I think, was not the league didn't like.
Yeah, so. I just went and asked Lance. You were on hold while I just mentioned that. But I had asked Lance because I wanted to get his interpretation of it and get it straight. And he said, no, it legitimately was a legal hit. So that's what really got me, was that he's going to pay the same price as Gronk, and his hit was legal.
Yeah, that definitely wasn't the that WWF, like, flying and Jimmy Snuka elbow, which was totally insane. But these guys, you know, they talk about, you know, oh, you know, we worry about each other, we're brotherhood, this and that, we stick together, and then they just body slam each other, which is great for the viewer, but I mean, definitely is not going to prolong any career, say that much, you know.
No doubt about it.
All right, later.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate the call. Skip, you want to get in here real quick on Gronk? What's up?
Hey, two things. Number one, I can't believe that they only suspended him for one game.
Right.
I mean, to me, that's insane. All right. But here's the second thing that I noticed, and I don't think a lot of people caught this. And I hope Tony Romo's faith that when he said this, he didn't actually see the full play. But the other commentator said, you know, he mentioned that Gronk had hit the guy, and Tony Romo said, good.
Really? Yeah, I didn't hear that either. Yeah. Bro, you need new wipers.
Yeah, I know, man.
You got some broke-ass wipers, Skip.
I didn't know Lord. Skip had gas after a bad lunch hour. What was going on there?
Skip, I didn't hear a word you said, bro. That. All I could hear was them regular-ass wipers just in the background. But no, I didn't hear that about Tony Romo, man, so I can't confirm or deny, but that would be kind of crazy if Tony did say that.
If you go back and just listen to the play when they're doing the instant replay or whatever,
okay,
that's what he said. I even played it twice to make sure that I heard it.
I'm gonna Google that. I'm gonna look for it in the break. That's crazy.
And in Tony's defense, I don't think he actually saw the whole play before he said that.
Huh. Wow. I'm gonna look it up. I'll try to find it at the break. See if I can find it. Well, if I find the audio, I'll get it to Nick. All right, Skip, go get you some wipers, man. Appreciate the call.
Thanks, Skip. Appreciate it. Hey, we're running a little short.
All I can hear. Could y'all hear it? It's just
you were cracking up so hard. I knew exactly what you were going at.
Hitting the guy.
You hear it?
And Tony Romo said, "Good."
It sounds like he's dragging Chewbacca behind his car.
Awesome. Then he said, don't you worry about that. All right. We won't worry about it, but we hope you take care of it. Skip, thanks for the call. Don't be a stranger. We'll be back with a whole lot more. We got a half hour to go in the big show before we turn it over to the Blitz. ESPN 97.5.
This is Ed Tuttle Jones, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
We're back on The Usual Suspects. 30 minutes to go in the show. As we continue to roll on before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, NBA news. The Sixers have finally traded Jahlil Okafor along with Nick Stauskas and a second-round pick to the Brooklyn Nets for Trevor Booker. Boy, it sounds like the Sixers just flat-out pulled the plug and unloaded on a couple of guys that were lottery picks, but okay.
Rise and fall of Okafor, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't that big of a rise, but it was a semi-rise there.
He had a decent rookie year.
Had a good rookie year.
And Stauskas was the kid that was the YouTube sensation that actually got him the scholarship to Michigan. He came out early. Everybody thought he was going to be the next J.J. Redick. And then two teams later, he's crapped the bed.
It's crazy that you would have thought they could have gotten more, the Sixers.
I thought so. But it was to the point where I think all the NBA general managers said, if you can't get someone to bite on what you're trying to sell, you're going to have to get rid of him because his agent's killing you guys. And then someone could just sign him off the street.
Yep.
Oh, they get some playing time now in Brooklyn, so we'll see what they can do. Other than that, we got a football game tonight, boys, and it's a good one.
Yeah.
Saints-Falcons is a good game.
You I'm worried, though, that it might suck just because, again, the short time frame between Sunday and now. And I don't think it will, but I'm kind of, you know, it's that usual Thursday jinx. Not necessarily jinx, but it's just because it's a short week for everybody.
Yeah, it's the curse that's always around the Thursday night game.
You would hate to lose a good game on the schedule, but then what are you going to do, right? I mean,
both teams need the game.
Put it this way, I would rather see this game played on a Sunday when they're fully healthy and rested and on a normal week's rest. But it's at least we have a good matchup on a Thursday,
right.
Which hasn't, I mean, I'll give them credit. This year there's been more matchups on Thursdays that have been more intriguing than in years past.
This one would be an ideal Sunday night game. Simply because it means something to both teams. It's divisional.
Good point.
Yeah, that it would be. But again, they'll say, well, Thursday night's just as good as Sunday night because that's the way the league thinks, and they're not even close. But at least it'll be fun to watch. I mean, good football. I mean, good TV tonight for us, finally, for a change. The Rockets are finally going to play again.
They're playing
at Utah.
This week feels like it's a week in the middle of the summer with nothing going on.
It did feel like
that. It really did.
Just slow news days, nothing going on.
This is the all-star break of baseball.
That's what I'm saying.
Week of the summer.
It's a good thing we don't, on this show, rely on having to have nothing but sports to talk about. But I think that's the good thing about this station. Most every show on this station can get through a week like this week where very little is actually going on. Other stations, man, they're 99.9% sports that when it's a slow week or it's slow in the summer.
Especially when you're forced. Like, you have to continue to push the Texans. I would not be very happy right now. Because what is there to mention other than Brian Cushing is probably going to return? Does he feel sorry for what he did? Deshaun Watson is still out, so that's basically a non-factor or a non-topic.
It would get old to have to talk about Bill O'Brien and
So you just have an auction to try and take up airtime?
Do you?
That's what they're doing.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Who?
And they're having ex-players on all day. They're having. Owen Daniels, who's already been here.
Oh, yeah. I see him every week when I go get my haircut. In fact, I'll probably see him today when I go over there to...
The one that intern Trey traumatized when he walked in?
Yes. And yeah, he sure did. He just tortured him with questions. And then what was the Kevin Walter?
They're gonna have him on. Oh, yeah. I like how everyone calls him Kevin Walters. They always add an S to the end of it for no reason.
And then they're going to have an auction just to cover some time. So, you know what?
Pretty cool.
The next thing they're going to do is probably have a poll question because those normally go well, too, on those. Days. We just give you entertainment.
Atlanta 51.1% over New Orleans 48.5% on the matchup predictor on ESPN. Not sure that I'm believing that. I think I would flip the script on that and take New Orleans over Atlanta. The spread is 2.5 in favor of the Falcons. I think I would take New Orleans and the 2.5 points as well. And the over-under is 52.
Clayton Sutherland, you can't bait me on Twitter. I know.
What did he try to do?
He's already like, who you got tonight, Saints or Falcons? I already know he's a huge Who Dat Nation guy.
Is he?
He was the first one to jump when I didn't get him going 1-3 in the four games.
Oh, you
can't troll me on
that. Well, this is one of the ones you said they would lose, right?
Uh-huh.
So are you picking the Falcons?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Just seeing if you were sticking with it.
Oh, no. At home in the Mercedes-Benz Dome. And I believe that the Falcons need the game more than the Saints. We'll see. And Freeman's back. We'll see what Falcons team we get. Because if they win this week, I think that they definitely have the leg up.
They've lost three of their five games at home this year. The Falcons have.
I know.
Two of those.
Last week was the
Buffalo and Miami. And then the third one, to the Vikings this past week. A good football team.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's very similar in how good they are to the New Orleans Saints, which is part of the reason why I think I would take the Saints.
With the points or just straight up?
Both.
Okay.
I'll take the 2.5 points because I think the Saints win the game straight up. So if you're going to give me 2.5 points as well, I'll take that for sure.
Okay.
That over-under is intriguing too.
What is it?
52.
Yeah, both teams I think are going to put points on the board. I really do.
Well, you guys did say Atlanta was at home, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're saying 26 each. So they're saying this game is, if you're taking the over, you're saying this game is 27-26 at least. Yeah. That sounds about right.
That should be about right. Yeah. Yeah, I would expect
I would
both
take
teams
the over.
To tinker in at about 30 points. Did you hear, too, by the way, that I heard Fred and AJ talking about this the other night, and I wasn't aware of this. Do you know that in Atlanta you can't buy single game tickets? You have to buy
a seat license.
No, you have to buy a PSL and or find them on like a secondary marketplace. You can't just go to the box office. And that's part of the reason why they can't get butts in seats and sell that new building.
I thought that was everywhere.
New venues just tend to come out with new rules.
Yeah.
You can't buy it. Can you buy individual tickets
from the Texans? But for a lot of teams in the league, you certainly can. You can walk up to the box office the day of the game and buy a ticket.
Oh. I wonder what the ratio is. I wonder how many teams you can buy individual game tickets without a PSL or not.
We can look into that. I mean, because it's interesting because of the fact that, look, I know PSLs are the rage and it's just like free money for the team.
But
at the same time, you want butts in seats, especially when you need a home field advantage. And I heard those guys talking about it last night, and I was amazed by that. I had never heard that before. That's just crazy. I know that they're thinking about how much cash they could bring in initially with the new building. But that sucks. You can't go to the box office with your kid and go, let's go to a football game today and just buy a couple of seats. And you know that there's plenty of seats available, but unless you got a PSL, you can't get them.
Grab a couple of nosebleed tickets.
Yeah. That's BS, man.
How about Mercedes? Now they've got two venues in the NFL, right? New Orleans and Atlanta.
That roof in Atlanta fascinates me.
It's pretty badass.
It fascinates me because I'm like, how does the thing open and not hit itself and get stuck? Because if you look at like the track and the way that they... It all has to start sliding at the same time, and it looks like it's rotating, but it's not. They said it's actually going in a straight line. Every one of those panels is moving in a straight line left to right, but it looks like the lens or the aperture of a camera.
It does.
So it looks like it's spinning, and it's not. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah. Wasn't it James Bond that used to do that for when the intros to the movies, where the camera lens would close and open up like that?
Yep.
That's exactly what it looks like.
Yeah, pretty cool.
When they built the Rose Garden, that's the one fact that people didn't know about. You know, every owner or every architect put something kind of neat and different in every building. But in the Rose Garden in Portland with Paul Allen having all the money in the world, two things about that building that people don't know is the ceiling tiles for acoustics. Actually, there's a remote for them. They all face flat down so that sound ricochets off of them to make it louder for sporting events. And then when they press the button again, they all open up in different directions so that the sound carries throughout the building with better acoustics for concerts.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and the other thing is, on one end of the floor, if you ever get to Portland and see a game, if you look, it looks like there is a massive, like, 40-foot bay window at the one end of the building up in the rafters, and people used to always joke, Paul Allen has a one-bedroom apartment up there. It's not a joke.
Really?
Yeah, part of the deal was they built a one-bedroom apartment that he said sometimes his mom would stay in, sometimes if he, because he used to fly his private plane back and forth from Seattle, Bellevue, Washington, where he lived, to Portland games, and then fly back that night. If you get too tired to go, he's got an apartment on top of the building.
Just crash at the... Wow. At the Astrodome, there used to be... I think it was it Judge Hoffines that had...
Like an office, right?
No, a house. There was a home.
He lived, right?
Up towards... Well, I don't know if it was at the top or in the middle, but yeah, there was a whole... All the way around, it was his house. He had a barber shop in there and all kinds of stuff.
Because when I was little, my aunt lived here. And she used to tell me that story, but she used to say it was like at the top of the dome where you could look down.
No, I don't think it was at the top.
Okay.
It was Hoffines. It was, Roy Hoffines. They're talking about it right here in this article.
So Judge Hoffines had it in the dome.
Yeah. Yep. It's crazy. I need to find the pictures for it. But
that'd be neat to see. That'd be fascinating.
Pretty fascinating.
Actually,
yeah. I never got to take the tour of it, but it is really cool. It was always one of those things you would talk about at the games. Yeah, look, like these are pictures of him in the dome where they had like a little a mini like carousel for his kids.
That's pretty cool.
Big desk in there.
You
pool table. There's the barbershop.
You just have to fight the rats off.
Yeah, that's true. And the feral cats. There's the barbershop. Yeah, pretty crazy.
That's awesome. Yep. All right, we got one segment to go before we turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz, so don't go anywhere. We'll wrap it up, put a bow on it, and give it on off to the guys that'll take you home on your drive from work or wherever you're going. It's the Usual Suspects right now on ESPN 97.5.
A new restaurant to go to? Visit culturemap.com to get the latest restaurant and bar news.
I hope you're hungry.
From Culture Map food editor Eric Sandler. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the final segment of the big show. It didn't suck today by any means, but one of the stories that kind of fell through the cracks because we were getting to so much and had so many with guests and everything else is this Warren Moon story. He's been accused of sexual harassment and sexual battery in a lawsuit filed by a female employee of his sports marketing firm. He will take an immediate leave of absence from his role as the color commentator on Seattle Seahawks radio broadcasts. There's some stuff. They're just going to keep coming out now. But this one looks like it's got a lot to it. There's a lot of layers, shall we say.
Yeah, I can tell you there are people that I know that maybe know. Or it's tough in these kind of scenarios because you don't know if you can trust all the sources that tell you things. But people talk, and there's rumors abound, and there's always been rumors of Warren being a player and, mm-hmm. and having affairs and whatnot and having all kinds of women. And a lot of that is rumors, and there's nothing that I could substantiate. But you hear things and people talk and the people that run in the same circles as him and as you. And it's funny because the person that is making the accusations, at one point I was told, and again, this could all be hearsay, and I don't know if it's even responsible to bring it up, but it's one of those things where you hear about people having relationships with the people they work with. And then when you see something like this, you're like, wow. You know, from what I was told is something was going on and now this happened. So which is it? It's hard to know what to believe. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that you ever get all the facts in any of these cases, because on the one hand, you worry about if he was, let's say that they were having an affair and then he decided he didn't want to anymore. Is this revenge, or was there never an affair? And that was the perception because he was such a D-bag that he was making it look like that because he was so slimy. It's hard to figure it out.
The interesting thing, too, is you don't have to have anything to say that you bring it to light. All you got to look is past history.
Yep.
And look at the track record that's there.
The Minnesota cheerleader that accused him or sued him and won because she said he offered her money for sex.
I don't know about there that one. That. I know that the wife went nuts.
Yep.
Intentionally went after him. I think cars were damaged in the process. There was all that. There was a lawsuit a while back with a woman that claimed to have been his longtime companion other than his wife. So see how it plays out. But, you know, the lawsuit was filed Monday in Orange County Superior Court in California. The lady's name is Wendy Haskell. She said she wanted to have her name made public, that Moon made unwanted and unsolicited sexual advances towards her while she was working for Sports One Marketing as Moon's assistant. The lawsuit lists Moon as president and co-owner of the Irvine, California-based company. So he is, of course, through his attorney, denying it. He contends these claims are meritless. He has every intention to vigorously defend himself in court.
Well, and that's the one thing about this is you never want to not believe someone, but you also have to wait and hear all the facts.
Correct.
And, you know, again, it goes back to, though, the same thing I said about Cushing when we started the show. If this was the first time, I would be less likely to go, oh man, that, you know, that doesn't sound like anything Warren Moon would do. But this isn't the first time. And it's certainly not the first of the rumors of stuff. So it's I guess we'll just wait and see.
Think he'd be extra cautious, and I'm not saying he wasn't.
No.
Because we don't know all the facts, like you said. But he has a lot on the line, man. I mean, he's covering the Seahawks. He gets to cover one of the best quarterbacks in the game in Russell Wilson. He does a lot with, I think it's King 5 or King TV up there in Seattle. And now he has to take a leave of absence from that.
He does stuff locally on another station here.
Absolutely.
He's got the Moon Foundation.
The guy stays busy.
He still collects a ton of money with NFL appearances, autograph signings.
So I just, it's so difficult to not jump to conclusions, but you know, it's one of those things. That's why the word allegedly is put out there until you know all the facts.
Well, I think we were both on top of it too, because to your point, in May 1995, the Vikings cheerleader settled out of court, but accused him of offering her money for sex. Uh-huh. 2 months later, Moon was arrested in Houston after his wife Felicia told police he struck her on the head and choked her before she escaped from the couple's home.
I remember that because at the time, my mom was involved with Houston Proud, It was back in the when the oil bust happened, I believe, and neighborhoods were just decimated. People were just leaving their homes, foreclosures, and the economy was horrible here. So they had this program called Houston Proud Neighborhood Revitalization Program. My mom was big into real estate, and she had come across Warren Moon because of the Houston Proud connection. So I remember that because she was talking about the fact that she was disappointed to hear that there was allegations of him spousal abuse, which turned out to not ever go to court, but it was just the allegations.
Yeah, Moon was acquitted because his wife testified she initiated the violence. The two later divorced. I also thought, though, at one point she completely demolished a brand new Mercedes at some point
I had never heard that.
Yeah, I had heard something about that. He basically, I think, was buying it for somebody else, but he sent the wrong message at the wrong time.
Oh,
or whatever.
You know what? You're right. I think I do remember that.
So she found out and got the car.
I do remember hearing
that
story.
Damage to it. So, yeah, we'll see how that plays out, but not a good look for Warren Moon, and just another in the long list that's now starting to come to fruition, come to the forefront in terms of all the sexual harassment and all these guys that were behaving badly back in the day thought it would never come back to bite them, and boy, it is biting them in a big way.
And a bit off topic, but I wanted to address it. Like four or five different people have tweeted to me or you or the both of us asking for fantasy advice. That's why we have the segment. That's why you guys need to call the show. Plus, I don't want to give out fantasy advice, especially with the playoffs coming and then you lose and blame me. I don't do that.
They can get to Sigmund.
So hit up Sigmund on Twitter. Hit up footballguys.com. That's why we give you that information. That's a great place to go and get your questions answered.
No doubt about it. Another great place to go Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here, ESPN 97.5. You can catch the usual suspects tomorrow. We'll be in the Big B. We'll be in the Beaumont area, the 409, as we're going to be at Luke's Ice House. If you have nothing to do on a Friday afternoon to spend your happy hour with us at Luke's Ice House, there's going to be plenty of great deals on Miller Lite, Coors Light, and all kinds of great food. Of course, all the TVs. And hopefully, you'll have some heat lamps if we're going to be outside, because it might be a bit chilly down in Beaumont. But Barry and I will be there. Nick will be man of the fort here, and we'll take you into your weekend with an FEF Friday. So until tomorrow, we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, and the Blitz. You guys drive home safely. We'll talk to you tomorrow right here on ESPN 97.5.
You know who it is.
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.